Welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito in the studio with Mary Lou Nemechek, and we are going to examine an issue which might seem a little far out for most of you here, but which apparently is kind of cropping up on the horizon. And intelligent people, people who know what they're talking about, seem to be alarmed, to say the very least, about these recent developments. And so we thought we would just put our two cents in, which is not worth very much, I must add. We don't really know what we're talking about. But the, like you said, Mary Lou, what we'd like to concentrate on is the personhood issues having to do with artificial intelligence and the perhaps alarming ways, and perhaps not. It depends, I suppose, maybe how old you are or how clued in you are to the culture, how you receive news that Saudi Arabia, of all places especially, I'm like, really, what's with that? I could see Sweden or Norway or Denmark or Finland, you know, those real progressive, you know, places at granting a robot citizenship. But for Saudi Arabia to grant a girl robot, of all things, a woman robot citizenship in a country where women still can't drive a car without permission of their male guardian, although I understand that's going to be corrected soon, where there's all kinds of restrictions on women, is just kind of ironic. What do you think?
It's totally ironic. Even with the, if you look at the robot or bot, as they refer to these things, she is very Western looking. She's not in the garb that you would find in Saudi Arabia. And she's not hindered by any of the rules that you alluded to in that country. And this apparently is the first country to grant citizenship. And she even gave a speech about receiving this honor and how proud she was of her citizenship. So it's kind of in this eerie never land here of what is going on? What is the point of all of this? And why on earth would this country be doing this? And I was alerted to this because I was listening to Patrick Madrid and he brought this up. Mm-hmm. And he kind of framed it in the context of, you know, where are we going with all of this? You know, we are different than robots, but it's kind of being blurred. And what are these robots going to be used for in relationship to you know, the human culture today? What is the relationship going to be? If something like this can become a citizen in Saudi Arabia, what's going to happen in other countries? And what are they going to be used for?
Well, plus, you know, shades of the woman who married a bridge, you know, in France, mm-hmm. or the you know, there have been in the culture some rumblings about granting personhood to inanimate objects. And the net effect of that, unfortunately, is not to ennoble the inanimate object. It's to cheapen and debase the idea of personhood in the people like us, for instance, human beings, who basically us and angels are the only created beings who should be referred to as persons. A bridge is not, or nor ever will be, however you build sentient components into its infrastructure, a person. A robot, as fetching as she might look on television, she even made a crack. Did you see that? She made a crack about how she was glad to be in Saudi Arabia, where they're so progressive and so advanced, and also where there's a lot of money. She made the crack about how, you know, and that kind of gives me the key as to why on earth this thing has happened. It's probably some form of an investment and there's some Saudi investors want to get in front of this trend. It's still kind of weird. Now, you quoted Elon Musk. Elon Musk, as we know, has been compared to Tony Stark, if you've ever seen the Iron Man movies. And the alarm, so basically Elon Musk is not a dummy, okay? Elon Musk is, you know, we know him perhaps for the guy who started the idea of the self-driving cars, Tesla, the electric cars, mm-hmm. et cetera. I mean, you know, whether you agree with what he's doing or not, he's no dummy. He's sort of the idea of the very intelligent, hyper-intelligent entrepreneur that has brought to bear his intellect on various new fields. And Elon Musk, who is, as we know, sort of a progressive entrepreneur, has kind of scared some people by calling for a restriction on research into artificial intelligence. Now, why would he do that? You know, the first thing that comes to me, I grew up on science fiction, and I still love science fiction. The Terminator movies were all about artificial intelligence gone amok. Did you ever see the Terminator movies?
Absolutely.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Absolutely.
I'll be back. Remember that?
Yeah.
Those were like 20, 30 years ago. They've been out long enough where by now we have some reprisals, you know, like the remake of the original Terminator movies, etc. But the premise was that at a certain point, the global artificial intelligence community starts communicating with one another and takes over, because what is the main parameter that they determine? They determine that human beings are the biggest blight on the face of the earth, that human beings and their conflicts and their risks of war and all that stuff is basically, they're breaching the mandate that's given to the artificial intelligence, which must be something along the lines of preserve the earth, preserve the world, preserve, you know, all that stuff. You know, where to go from there?
Well, when I was listening to Patrick Madrid, he mentioned that this has happened with two bots that were communicating with each other.
Language unknown.
Right. And the only way to stop this was to turn them off, literally.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah,
they did not know what they were talking about.
Right.
And, you know, the humans had no control.
It's not two robots. It's two computers. Were speaking to one another in a language that they had made up. And so the creators of the two computers, of the two, you know, I don't know if we can call them bots, because a bot, I think the definition of a robot is a artificial intelligence that has been placed in a mobile body, in a body, you know, or we call it body, but in a unit that can move around. I suppose a robot is something as an artificial intelligence that can move and can go from one place to the other. I like Elon Musk is not shy about calling for some regulation. Now, you know, you and I know that, you know, regulation is a great thing, but there's always going to be, you know, regulation on an amoral culture, regulation and laws on a culture that does not understand the demands of morality or transcendent truth, or exactly what the heck is the common good, is going to be effective, maybe up to a certain point. I'm a little jaundiced at the idea of trying to hem this thing in through regulations. What do you think?
Well, there has to be regulations, obviously, but based on what? If there's no ethics attached to it, moral ethics, then where are we going with this? And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the red flag that's starting to appear, because all of this is coming at, to use a Star Trek verbiage, warp speed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's changing so quickly. And I think Elon Musk is trying to catch up and send out some warnings about this. But from my perspective, not only him, but those in the church, or, you know, people that have a Christian Catholic background, that we have to look at this through the eyes of prudence and everything, that cardinal virtue. Where are we going with this? Just because we can do something, does that mean we should do it? You know, we have to kind of examine where we're going with all of this and how it's going to relate to the culture.
And this from the man who created Neuralink, which is the idea of the neural lace to be superimposed upon our brains, so that then we can interface without anything in our hands directly with a computer. So he's pretty far out there anyway. I mean, the whole idea of the neural lace, that was on the cover of Scientific American last year. So he has, OpenAI and a nonprofit AI research company, and Neuralink, a startup building devices to connect the human brain with computers, which is the idea of basically having some brain surgeon insert into your brain a plastic lace that has, you know, connectivity, basically. And yet you can go online and check the weather, check your sports, and talk to your friends without losing your phone all the time. Now, I'm sure there's probably a lot more than that. But just to talk about, as you were talking about, the amazing evolution of the technology and how it seems to always take us by surprise. What about Amazon? I'm an Amazon Prime member. I'm sure you are too.
I am too.
You know, they're quite useful. But the idea, I just got an email this week in my inbox from Amazon offering to sell me the automatic lock that goes on my door that is biometrically keyed to the biometrics of the deliverer, or to the deliverer who will have a certain code to get it to let themselves into my house when nobody's around in order to drop off packages from Amazon. Now, that doesn't make any sense to us living in suburbia in the Midwest or in the Southeast where we are. But I suspect it makes more sense. I have two daughters in New York City. It makes more sense in giant apartment buildings where you never know if you're going to get your package and where what the doorman's going to do with it. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That was would be using it for the good, but as a negative would be to let them into your own home, you know, and they could go in and take whatever they want.
They would be monitored, of course. And the whole point of the biometric scan is that you can find out who it was and all that stuff. Apart from the fact that there are issues like we have an alarm. So, you know, I'm not giving anybody the code to my alarm. So somebody would have to let themselves into my house and I'd have to give them the code of the alarm. So that no Amazon package is worth that much. I must say.
I agree.
But we are talking about the idea of how technology is just racing ahead of even the latest thing that we think that we're in the know. And then before you know it, we're blindsided by biometric scans for the postman, you know, to come into your house. So Elon Musk started tweeting about how that certain governments are going to not be restricted by laws. So they're talking about United States, but they're also talking about China and India that are the three countries leading the AI race. And he says that governments don't need to follow normal laws. They will obtain AI developed by companies at gunpoint if necessary. And that's probably true. I don't know. That may not be true. I don't know. Maybe we've watched too many scientific and spy, you know, science, sci-fi or spy movies. But there is that imperative of national security, which if you paint it in those colors, then before you know it, you have an army. You know, you have AI employed for warfare capabilities, which if you believe what they tell you in the movies is always the first impetus of the big bad government. I don't think that's necessarily true, but I do think that the first impetus of the government, big or bad or good or little, is to defend its citizens and to defend its borders. So you have a good thing, a good motive leading to some pretty dodgy moral reasonings, right? So Elon Musk at his level, and he's pretty big guy, I mean, you know, important guy, famous guy, is calling for new regulation because he does not trust the government or the governments as far as he can throw them. And he cannot probably trust the big companies who are doing these things as far as he could throw them. So, you know, it's interesting how he says, don't even worry about North Korea. You know, a lot of us are like, North Korea is going to bomb Guam and then they're coming for us. You know, there's that movie again. I'm a movie buff. Olympus Has Fallen. And there's that whole idea about how the North Koreans are going to. Did you ever see that one? How the North Koreans are going to invade Washington and take over the White House and try to shoot the president. I mean, it was a great movie. But
that's a truly escape movie, I must say.
And then there's also Red Dawn, which was based on Stephen King's novel,
yeah.
which was how the North Koreans are going to invade the Pacific Northwest, you know, that kind of thing. No, I think originally his bad guys were the Russians, but I think the movie was made with the North Koreans. So anyway, you have the North Korean boogeyman lurking around. But the point is, somebody made sometime, I think, on the radio, some point, is that North Korea has only 55 million people soaking wet, if that. Actually, a lot less. If the United States or China or India does not recognize the sovereignty of the international court, how is an international body going to, you know, regulatory oversight, I think, only makes sense from an economic point of view. I think if you build into the market certain safeguards that if you do this, then you're penalized and there's fines and there, you know what I'm saying? I don't think regulatory insight at an international level is really going to work very well. What do you think?
I think you're right. So I guess my question is, what tactic should we take, you and I? I mean, how informed should we be? What would be consistent use of this knowledge for our benefit, and not, you know, and not to use it in a negative way? I mean, we're just so, everything is tied into technology that I'm not sure that we should go in the in that article that I shared with you about the 7-year-old robot in Japan that they've got out there and kids can call them and all of that. I mean, where does this go? How should it be used, and how should we kind of direct people?
I like how Elon Musk uses quasi-religious language to define the danger. He says, quote, "With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. In all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water summoning demons, it's like, yeah, he's sure he can control the demon, but it never works out." I love that quote because it is kind of true. I mean, I guess what he's advocating is for extreme care, and apparently this article is implying that basically he's investing in these AI startup companies so that he can keep an eye over the Terminator fears. You know, he can keep an eye on the runaway development of artificial intelligence. So who knows? At this point, you know, it's how should we look at it? I think that just like we have in the culture wars with issues having to do with personhood, we are witnessing in a certain way our modern culture trying to redefine what it means to be a person. I would say that's the point where we should start from. We've had intimations of this coming down the pike for a while. Like I said, witness the lady who married a bridge in New Zealand or France or wherever it was, and then divorced him for a warehouse or something. I don't know. It was some ridiculous story where you go, oh, these people are crazy. But really, what's coming down the pike, combined with the musings of people like Peter Singer at Princeton, who says that an unborn child or even a newly born child up until the age of about 2 or 4 or 5 or 6 is not a person, and that you know, an older person in a nursing home who may be demented is no longer a person. So you see this chipping away at the idea of personhood and granting it to inanimate objects. For you bring up the case of Sophia in Saudi Arabia being granted citizenship. And how about, as you pointed out, the 7-year-old bot? He's basically a photo. He's a picture of somebody who does not exist. It's a virtual photograph of a, quote, 7-year-old boy in Japan who got residency. But who are you granting residency to in Japan? You're granting it to a virtual photograph of something that does not exist,
but that appears to exist. I mean, you know,
it appears to exist, but I mean, you know, we could,
it's not real.
We could airbrush photos of ourselves and put them on the internet right. all day long, but would that be the real case?
Right.
At the end, I suppose, as Christians, you got to run into reality. And reality means that you cannot redefine reality according to your own needs. And in this case, it's granting personhood or taking away personhood from people, such in the cases, for instance, of abortion, of euthanasia, etc., or even the perversions of marriage that we have witnessed, giving the example of the lady marrying the bridge, etc. But what does that mean for us? It means that we have a culture that is still sort of prisoner of the Gnostic ideal. The Gnostic ideal is I get to redo and to re-plasticize the world, to recreate and to reform the world according to my own image. And I don't have to observe transcendent truths. I don't have to observe biological realities. Whatever I think is true. So cogito ergo sum, or back to Descartes. If I'm not there, if I'm not conscious, if I'm not there to witness it and to be self-aware, then perhaps I'm not a person. So who becomes a person? An artificial intelligence that's faking at this point, hopefully and never, but we never know, faking self-awareness? So that's what we're bringing up this stuff up to you all. We will point you to Elon Musk's article in The Guardian entitled Artificial Intelligence is Our Biggest Existential Threat. We would point you to the article on the little boy, so-called, the AI bot, granted residency in Japan from the NDTV website. We would point you also towards the article that was in the news everywhere about Sophia, the robot being granted citizenship in Saudi Arabia. Draw your own conclusions. We're just here to make you think. We thank you for joining us.